All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joining me now, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jason Lockenfor is with me talking NFL. Jason, how you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Doing good, man. Ready to go for another Sunday of NFL action. And let's start with this Dez Bryant injury, which is amazing. I mean, there was so much drama surrounding him all year. Where would he go? He finally signs with the Saints. It seems like a good fit. And then he tears his Achilles in like his first practice or second practice. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just a star-crossed situation for Dez, going back to his release from the Cowboys and the timing of that, which did him no favors and kind of had him playing behind. In a market where there was crazy money flying around for, you know, guy, I mean, what's Dante Moncrief ever done? You know, he's got $10 to $12 million a year based on how much he plays, but a minimum of $10 million a year. You know, you had the Ravens putting out that crazy money for Ryan Grant and then kind of extricating themselves from that one when Crabtree got, you know, hurt. But, I mean, Jordy Nelson got $13 million guaranteed. I mean, Sammy Watkins is getting $35 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
And he's a little late to that dance. You know, the Ravens do put an offer in front of him that had similar money to the Jordy Nelson deal, I'm told. He backed out of that, thought he might be able to do better, or more to the point, go to an offense that's better. You know, Cleveland was the next team up. I don't blame him for not taking, you know, basically 1 year, close to $5 million from Cleveland, knowing that that situation was probably going to blow up. And, you know, who knows how the rookie quarterback's going to play, and there's a lot of question marks about the offense there and, you know, what's going on with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, yada, yada, yada. So we had that one-day sort of clown show during Hard Knocks, and then there wasn't really any other sniffs. And he knew he had to get himself into better shape, and he rededicated himself to doing that. And the Saints were a team that had been eyeing him from afar, going all the way back to before the draft. And, you know, finally we get to the middle of November, and they're like, you know what, we think he understands what we need him to do here and who we need him to be and who we don't need him to be. And if he looks, you know, as good as these other two guys we're going to bring in, he may be the best fit. And then, you know, obviously he works out, he gets the job. And then he gets hurt in practice, and it does not look good. It's a shame. I think he could have been a very good complimentary player in New Orleans, and that could have been the perfect spot to try to get himself in a position to where there is a market for him in 2019 and other teams are interested. But now he's got to decide if he really wants to go through a grueling rehab to possibly be ready to go sometime around the start of the season. You know, or the first half of the season, if everything goes right with that recovery. But even then, what's the money going to be? You know, what's the role going to be, and what's the upside going to be? So he's got a lot to contemplate, and you know, it's too bad. You know, for every Peyton Manning or Ray Lewis, you know, who goes out with a Lombardi Trophy, there's way more guys who, if this is the end for Dez, go out on anything less than under their own control and under the ideal circumstances.
Jason Lockenfor with us, CBS Sports. Jason, you mentioned the Browns there, and, you know, the Browns are a mess and dysfunctional again, but there is hope, I think real hope, for the Browns for the first time in a long time, and that's if Jimmy Haslam stays out of the way, right?
Yeah.
They have the right GM in place for the first time in forever. They have, I believe, the quarterback in place for the first time in forever. They have two cornerstone pieces at least on the defense with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. So these things are there. Now they need to find the coach and have the owner stay out of the way. There has been some reporting this week that he is finally going to let John Dorsey just do the job and pick the coach. Do you believe it?
Well,
and who are the names
you're
hearing?
It's easy to leak that in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
in the middle of November and you haven't started interviewing anybody. I mean,
yes.
But if you've paid attention to this organization and how decisions have been made and how they've continually led themselves into positions where, you know, this is the first coach to last more than two years. No coach under Jimmy Haslam has won more than 10 games.
Right.
And the only one who, during his entire Browns career, to win more than five was Mike Pettine, the guy who managed to win 10 in 2 years. I mean, that's the reality of Browns coaches under Jimmy Haslam. Will it change this time? It quite possibly might. But the idea that they are now going to divest themselves of all the, you know, no owner's ever going to divest themselves of their entire voice. But this idea that Dorsey's going to run the whole thing and, you know, we're just going to sign off on it at the end. I'll just say this. There's a lot of skepticism in football circles about that being the case. I mean, every time they've had a chance to insert themselves into an equation, they've done it. And it's not even just right. The coaching thing. I mean, go back to the whole Teddy Bridgewater thing where they spend all this money and all this time and have all these parties involved, and how do we finally solve the quarterback riddle? And everything points to Bridgewater, and the owner really wants Johnny Football, and they take Johnny Football. So I got to see it to believe it at this point.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, let's move from one AFC North team to another. And the Steelers. So the Steelers come off an impressive win Thursday Night Football against Carolina. James Conner in the concussion protocol, and Le'Veon Bell has to make a decision. All year it seemed to maybe the reporting was all wrong. It seemed like that if he sat out the entire year, he would still have a second-year franchise tag. Now, apparently, that's not the case. So the Steelers really can't tag him. So outside of the money for the rest of the season, doesn't seem to be incentive to play. Will he come back? And what's the latest on James Conner as well?
I would say be very wary of a lot of that franchise tag reporting. I mean, that stuff hasn't been sorted out yet.
Okay.
The management council of the NFL has its set of ideas. The NFLPA has another set of ideas. And there's also the transition tag, which has always been the more likely option for the Steelers. And there's a case to be made if he does come back that the transition tag figure might be considerably lower than what he would have made on the franchise tag this year, because you'll be able to make the case if he did come back, play, you know, six games or seven games for $7 to $8 million, that we just have to pay him a 20% raise on top of that. And then we'll see what's out there for him on the market. And if he can get something that we don't want to match, then so be it. But we would at least like to have that ability. And who knows, you know, God forbid Conner does suffer some sort of significant injury between now and the end of their season sometime in the playoffs. Le'Veon Bell might be even more attractive as somebody the Steelers might want to try to squat on for another year. So the bottom line is he's either coming back by Tuesday or he's not. And you could make the case that from a financial standpoint, there may be to some degree less risk by sitting out the entire season. Obviously, that's a gamble, too, and nobody knows what is ahead for him in March. But I would say whether he comes back or doesn't come back, I would expect the Steelers to at least put the transition tag on him. And then we'll have a grievance, and we'll see what the special master decides, you know, the arbitrator, and who he files for. But they could always withdraw the tag. You know, they could find out that the figure is higher than what they want to carry on their cap either way, and they could always just walk away from it. But you lose nothing.
Yeah.
And gain perhaps a lot by at least putting that tag on him and then waiting, you know, and waiting to go through the process.
Right. Jason, you know, I have people, fans will call me all the time and they come up with ideas. You know, everybody's worried. The defensive players are complaining and all these rules favor the offensive fans. Like, we could do this for defense. We could do it. And my thought is, why would we do anything for defense? I love the NFL like this personally. I think it's more enjoyable to see the offense. And ratings are up. Maybe it's just coincidence. I don't know. Yeah. I think it has something to do with it. I love all the scoring. I love the way the game is now. Do you?
Well, I mean, do I think it's a completely fair fight? No, it is absolutely not. But you're right. I don't know that they want a completely fair fight. You know, go back to Major League Baseball and chicks dig the long ball. And, you know, that was a big part of the resurgence of that sport. Now, it was obviously chemically aided and whatnot, and there were ramifications and repercussions from that. But, I mean, look, I think the sponsors seem to like it. They're getting positive feedback. The numbers are back to where they were a couple years ago. And I think as much as we heard all the rhetoric about kneeling and who's a patriot and who's not and what the president had to say, the reality was they had – about a quarter of the league's quarterbacks wiped out for half a season or more. And the guys, you know, who were brought in to replace them were the drop off from Aaron Rodgers to Hundley, you know what I mean? Like from Deshaun Watson to Tom Savage you just start adding that up all around the league and how many teams.
Yeah. Rodgers was hurt last year too, for a while.
From Rodgers to Hundley.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. You said that.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's playing three quarters of the season, and those guys are on national television all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, even this year, much smaller scale, but look how San Francisco is getting flexed out of a lot of these games when they can because Garoppolo's not there. So I think it does come down to that. And they know we've got to sell out to protect the quarterbacks because they are the business. And if the quarterbacks are super protected and the receivers are more protected, then that's going to be more scoring. But you know what? Hey, that's, you know, tough bananas to everybody on defense. You just got to deal with it. And I think that's where we are, and I think that's where we'll continue to go.
You know, if a couple of years ago I would have said to you, John Harbaugh was going to be fired before Marvin Lewis, you probably would have thought I was crazy, but that could happen here. And so let me ask you that. Is he on the hot seat, and are we going to see, we've heard about Joe Flacco injury, are we going to see Lamar Jackson, or might they go to RG3 instead temporarily?
We'll see Lamar Jackson, I think, in week 11.
Yeah,
probably for the rest of the season. And that was the direction that they were starting to head in, even without the hip ailment for Flacco. There was already an effort being made to get Lamar on the field more and more, like a series here and a series there versus a play here and a play there. And once you start going down that road and your playoff path is, it's not impossible, but it's exceedingly difficult. Then that's the direction that they're going in. The moment Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy both took those 1 year extensions a year ago, my thought was neither one would ever play out that lame duck year. Neither one would ever be there in 2019. So I'm not surprised really much at all that we find ourselves in this situation. And I do think that the Ravens and Packers will be in the market for new coaches come January.
Wow. All right, last thing, Chiefs and Rams obviously look like the two best teams, but both have, you know, got a lot to prove in the postseason, obviously. What do you make, do you make them both the favorites to win their conferences?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I think there's a hand there. Those are two of probably a half dozen teams who I think have a real chance to get into January and be the last team standing. But I think New England's of that caliber. I think Pittsburgh's of that caliber. I think that the Chargers may prove to be of that caliber, especially if they can get a few guys back from injury down the stretch. And in the NFC, certainly the Rams are a team who could win that conference and win a Super Bowl, but so could the Saints. And I think, you know, probably so could the Vikings. And, you know, we'll see if Philadelphia can go on a run here. I think they just might, but I also think repeating is so difficult. So, you know, I think it's going to depend on the matchups and who's catching who at the right time, which team is more beat up when they play in the postseason, where the games are played. If it's not a dome stadium, what are the elements like? But they're definitely great football teams and a lot of fun to watch, and they score a ton of points. But I wouldn't crown either one just yet.
Yeah. By the way, Jason, I have to deal with the small percentage of fans in Cleveland that still, during the week, that still defend Hugh Jackson, which blows my mind since he won 3 of 40 games. It really blows me. There's still a few of them left. And every time somebody brings it up, you mentioned Minnesota, and I think the Buffalo Bills beat Minnesota. They were a 17-point underdog, 16, whatever it was. And in this, Hugh Jackson's been able to convince a certain segment of the fan base that the Browns had the worst talent in the history of football, which is absurd. They had bad talent for his first 2 years. We would all agree on that, but not any worse than any other really bad team in recent years. Yet he won one game in 2 years. It still blows my mind.
I guess it's like no one could ever have a 0% approval rating, and no one could ever have a 100% approval
rating.
That's true. Right? I mean, everybody's living on the margins to one degree or the other. I mean, if more than 10% of your callers support him, that would be baffling to me. But
yeah, it's probably about 10%. You never know.
Got an opinion.
That's right. Jason, good stuff, man. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a good one.
There you go. Jason Lockham for CBS Sports.